Okay. And recording this for posterity also. All right, good morning, everyone. Today's daf in Masechta Nidah's daf Ayin Beis. We are on the Mishnah on Ayin Aleph Amud Beis. We're in 71b. There are two Mishnayos on the page, three Mishnayos on the page. We're starting from the first one towards the top, Brishona. The Mishnah begins, Brishona Yo'omrim Yosheves Adam Torah Haisa Ma'arem Mayim LePesach. Okay. We discussed this already a number of times. A woman, after having given birth, so if it's a boy, so she's tummy for 7 days, and then she tovels in the mikvah. If it's a girl, she's tummy for 14 days, and then she tovels in the mikvah. What happens after that? So she experiences what's called damtara. Damtara simply means that any bleeding that occurs after that point in time is considered to be tahor, tahora, and she's still going to be permitted to her husband. But I've pointed this out already a number of times throughout the Masechta. The word Dam Tahor is somewhat misleading because she's not totally Tahora. She will not be Tahora until, for a boy, day 40, and for a girl, day 80. Until the conclusion of day 40 and the conclusion of day 80. So that means to say that after a boy, so from day 8 to day 40, she is still has a residual amount of Tumah. Now we know this, if we could just move away from a moment from the story of a woman giving birth and go to a regular tummy. Right, so let's say a person who touches a sheretz. So what's the story with a person touching a sheretz? So he's tameh. So what does he do? He tovels in the mikvah. And then by that night, he'll be totally tahor. In other words, there's going to be a period of time where, from the point of toveling in the mikvah until evening, so there's going to be residual tumah. This is what we refer to as a tvul yom. Tvul yom status means that you are, for the most part, tahor, but you still have a little bit to go. You have a little residual. What exactly does that mean? So for the most part, we're going to say, just for this point of simplicity, that that person is going to be a sheni l'tumah. Sheni l'tumah, as we know, is metame truma, is metame carbon, but is not metame chulin. Wonderful. So with this woman who's given birth, she's an interesting scenario. It's a unique scenario in which she's going to be a tvul yom, but she's going to be what's called a tvul yom aruch, and really an extended tvul yom. So from when she tovels in the mikvah on the night after day 7, on the evening of day 8, I'm talking about a woman who had a boy, and until day 40, she is now going to be a tvul yom. So for those 33 days, she's going to be a sheni l'tuma. So she's totally mutter to her husband, and even if she bleeds, she's mutter to her husband, but she's going to be a tvul yom. So far, so good. Those are the basics. So the Mishnah says, so this woman now, who is Yosheva Saldam Tahor, so that means she's from day 8 to day 40. So what she could do is she could pour the water for Pesach. Now what does that mean? Rashi says, if you take a look at Rashi inside, Miklia Klealer Chotzbo Es Basar HaPesach. So she would actually pour the water in order to clean the meat of the Karban Pesach. Aval b'maymein anogas, but Rashi says, now she can't touch the water, she tovels yom. She tovels of shulayim. Ve'ein la harav shemesh ad yom shmonim. Rashi here describes a woman who's given birth to a girl, but it's the same basic point. Meaning after 2 weeks, so now she tovels in the mikvah, and she is now in this long state of tvul yom, from day 15 until day 80. So she can't actually touch the water itself, but what she could do is she could pour the water. So in other words, she's going to be touching the kli, which is holding the water. Rashi says, now Rashi quotes the pasuk. The pasuk tells us that she is in the state of tvul yom. She can't touch kodesh. And Rashi points out over here, as I mentioned in the introduction, that a tvul yom has the status of a sheni. Now, for her to hold the kli, the utensil that's holding the water, that's not a problem, because we know that a sheni l'tumah cannot transmit tumah to a kli, only to a food or to a liquid, and so therefore the water is fine. Okay, it does sound, it's interesting, even in this position of itself, it does certainly sound a little bit risky, meaning she can't touch the water because she'll transmit tumah to the water, but she can hold the kli. Okay, it's hard to imagine that she'll be holding the kli and no water will be touching her whatsoever, but okay, that was the original position that was held, that she could be the one pouring the water even though she's in the status of a sheni. Chazru Lomar, now we're back into the Mishnah. That was the original position, but then they rethought the position and they said, maybe not. Hareyu kamagatame mesel kachim, kedivrei beis hillel, beis shammai omrim, af Kitame Meis. They rethought about her status, and so therefore what they did is they gave her an upgrade on her status. They then said that she's either going to be, now this is subject to a machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, what exactly she's upgraded to. So according to Beis Hillel, she is like Maga Tamei Meis. Now what does that mean? So Maga Tamei Meis is referring to, let's get this straight, a dead body is an Avi Avos HaTumah. Someone who touches a dead body is now a Maga B'Meis. A Maga B'Meis is an Av HaTumah. So any person who touches a mace is himself going to be an Av. He's going to be a source of Tumah. The mace is even one step above that, what we call Avi Avos. The person touching the mace is an Av HaTumah. And now, being that this person's an Av HaTumah, so anything he touches or any person he touches is going to become Tumah. So that person that he touches now is going to be a Rishon. So, Chazru Lomar, they then thought about it and they said, Harehi Kemaga Tumah Mace. So follow what the Mishnah means by this. Someone who touches, somebody who touches a dead body. I realize that's a little bit confusing, but basically, if I could say it simply, she's a Rishon. In other words, instead of saying that she's a Sheni, she's going to be a Rishon. That's the position of Beis Hillel, and Beis Shammai Omer Mafka Tamei Meis, and Beis Shammai goes even one step further and says, no, that this woman's going to be like a Tamei Meis, meaning she's going to be an Avatoma. Likachim, vis-a-vis Kachim. Okay, now, certainly, where do I start? Okay, let's just start off with some basic points regarding the upgrade that this woman has received. This woman now, she's a Tful Yom, meaning there's no debate whatsoever what she is. She is a Tful Yom. And generally speaking, we all agree that a Tful Yom is a Sheni. Generally speaking. Okay, and that's true by your regular Tful Yom. But this particular woman has an interesting situation because she's an extended Tful Yom. She's just not the regular Tful Yom, where you tov on the mikvah and by nightfall you'll be fine. But she's going to be Tful Yom. It could be for a total of 66 days for the woman who just gave birth to a girl. So being that now she's going to be about 2 months in the state of Tful Yom, so basically what the rabbis did for her is they gave her an upgrade. And this is not the kind of upgrade, not where you're flying in a plane and you go to first class. Meaning this kind of upgrade is that because she's a Tful Yom for such an extended period of time, so as far as Kachim is concerned, so normally we would say Tful Yom is a Sheni, but this particular woman, because she's now in the state for such a long time, so she gets upgraded to become a Rishon, at least according to Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai says it's even a higher upgrade. She's an Avatum, which is really amazing in terms of the level of upgrade we're talking about. To go from being a Sheni to being an Avatuma. Again, all this is rabbinically, but okay. That's so point number one is that this woman now has received a Tumah upgrade. And an upgrade is not really conveying the right idea. I guess you can call it a downgrade. But in other words, she has a higher degree of Tumah. Now, what the Gemara points out over here is the following. Ma'arein and Nogaslo. Now, the Gemara looks at the first part of the Mishnah. The first part of the Mishnah talks about how the Mishnah is describing where she could pour, but she can't touch the water. Now, the water that we're talking about over here is water to clean the Karban Pesach, meaning the water itself is not Kodesh, but nevertheless, it's treated like Kodesh. So this is what we refer to classically. We've talked about this many times. Chulin Shenasu Ataras HaKodesh. Chulin, which is treated as if it's Kodesh. Now, what legal status does it have? So that's subject to a debate. We've debated this many times throughout Shas. So it sounds like from the Mishnah, the Chul Shenasa Taras HaKodesh is Kekodesh Dami, Ema Seifa. But then when you look at the next part of the Mishnah, what's the next part of the Mishnah say? Chazru Lamar, Harei Kamagatame Mesa Kodeshim. The Gemara now makes a very simple diak in the second half of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that she is like a person who touches a Tamei Mace, Likodeshim. Now, what does that word lekachim mean? Lekachim and lechulin lo. It's a very simple diuk, meaning that her upgrade is only going to be vis-a-vis kachim. Am lechulin shenaso taras kodesh lav kodesh damu. So the Gemara says that okay, that what the Mishnah in the second half of the Mishnah is doing is just simply arguing in the first half of the Mishnah. Now, it's not 100% clear what the Gemara is doing over here. In other words, the Gemara is bothered by the contradiction between the first half of the Mishnah and the second half of the Mishnah. Well, if that were so, normally then the Gemara would try to resolve. And here the Gemara makes no effort, no attempt to resolve. So it could just very well be that the first half and the second half of the Mishnah are arguing with one another. But then it's just awkward because the Gemara then provides no resolution between the two. All right, that's somewhat of an issue, but fine. Now, Masisa Mani Abashalhi Detani Abashal Amr Tvil Yom Tchila Kodesh Hatam Yishnaim Luv Sol Echad. Now, who is our Mishnah following? Our Mishnah is following the position of Abashal. Abashal says that a Tvil Yom is Tchila Lekodesh, Meaning that when a Tevul Yom approaches Kodesh, so now he is considered, the Tevul Yom is considered a Rishon, which then, now if you're talking about Kodesh, how susceptible to Tumah is Kodesh? So as we know, Chulin goes up to a Sheni, doesn't go past a Sheni. Truma goes up to a Shlishi, doesn't go past a Shlishi, and Kodesh goes up to a Revi. So when the Mishnah says that by Kodesh, the Tevul Yom who comes now into contact with Kodesh, so if we consider now the Tevul Yom to be a Rishon, so that means now there's going to be two more steps, meaning the Tevul Yom is going to touch the Kodesh is now a Sheni. This Kodesh can touch another piece of Kodesh, that will be a Shlishi. And then, Lifsol Echad. Now we can go even one step beyond that, and that when that next piece of Kodesh touches another piece of Kodesh, we're up to the third piece of Kodesh. For those keeping score, that last piece of Kodesh will become a Revi. Why did the Breisier use the words Lifsol Echad? So we've talked about this many times. Because when we want to describe in the world of Tumah, the end of the road, instead of using the word Tameh, we use the word Pasul. Pasul just simply means it is Tameh, but it doesn't go beyond that. So in other words, it itself is Pasul, but it doesn't go beyond that because you've already hit stage 4. Level 4 Tumah. Right? Revila Tumah. Okay, so our Mishnah, which says that the Tevul Yom is upgraded to a Rishon, is following the position of Abba Shaul. Okay. Good. All right, so that takes us to that Mishnah, Umodim. We're up to the next Mishnah now. Shio Chalas B'Maiser. Now, this woman who's the Tevul Yom. Good. Mishame and Beis Hillel disagree in terms of what she can touch in terms of Karbanos. But if, in other words, if we just move down on the level of Kedusha, we go one grade below Karban. Not one grade, I take it back. Well, let's call it two grades below Karban. Meaning right below Karban, what would I say has the most amount of Kedusha after Karban? So you would say Truma. After Truma, then what is there to talk about? Maaser Sheni. Now Maaser Sheni has a small amount of Kedusha. What kind of Kedusha does Maaser Sheni have? Well, its highlight is that it has to be eaten in Yerushalayim. It cannot be eaten outside of Yerushalayim. So to that degree, it has a certain amount of Kedusha. We know that an onin cannot eat Maaser Sheni. Okay. So Maaser Sheni has a certain degree of Kedusha. Umonim Shio Chalz B'Maaser. So this Tovelas Yom, this Tevul Yom woman who's given birth. So meaning, let's say she gave birth to a girl. So from day 15 to day 80, for those 66 days, so she can eat Maaser Sheni. She can go to Yerushalayim, and she can eat Maaser Sheni. Now, let's say this woman wants to bake bread. Okay, we know that with every time you bake bread, so there's a mitzvah of Hafrashas Challah. So you have to separate challah from bread. Now here's the tricky part. Challah is truma. Challah and truma are basically the same thing. They have the same status. Every time a woman makes bread, she's got to take a portion of it and be mafresh as challah and give that dough to a kohen, and the kohen eats the challah. Now, challah being that it has the same status as truma, so challah cannot be handled by certainly somebody who's tameh and not even a tevul yom. Because, again, there's a certain susceptibility that challah has, being that it's on the same status with truma. So here's a simple question. How is this woman going to make bread? So the Mishnah over here gives the following advice. Kotzala challah umakafes la shem. I'm sorry. Kotzala challah umakafes v'kor la shem. So here's what she's going to do. Number one, says the Mishnah, is she'll break off a piece of the dough. Okay? Don't call it challah yet. Okay? That's, in other words, right now, keep it as dough. Put it right next to all the other dough that she's baking. Right? The word makefes, Rashi says, means put it in proximity to the other dough. If you take a look at Rashi inside, Rashi goes through a whole other number of other times in the Gemara, where the Gemara uses the words makefes, as means to be close. So you put that dough next to the other dough, and then the Mishnah says, v'kora la shem. And then, after the dough now has been separated, and after you put it next to the other dough, near the other dough, now give it the status. Meaning, point to that dough, and now call it what it is, call it challah. Now this is perfect, meaning what a great solution. Meaning, so at that point in time, she doesn't have any physical contact with it whatsoever. Obviously, from this point forward now that it's challah, she will not touch it. If she touches it, she's going to be metameit, being that challah has the same status as truma. But in other words, it's a great solution in order how she can bake bread and have take off the challah and not come into any physical contact with the challah. So far, so good. And then the Mishnah says, v'im nafal miroka midam tara kikar shel truma shutar. Now, what if some of her spit lands on the challah, or for that matter, any truma? What if some of her dam were to land on the challah? Now, as we can all think about this for a moment, I cannot imagine that bread being so appealing if either one of those bodily fluids were to land on the bread. Okay, but we're not right now interested in the degree of taste. We're now interested in the halachic status of the bread. So the Mishnah says that if you have some spit or some of her dam falling on the bread, even though it's truma bread, the bread, shehutar, the bread is going to be tahor. Now, this is in contradistinction to a zav. Remember how we talked about this many times. A zav or a zava or a nida or a yoled is for her first week or 2 weeks, depending if it's boy or girl. Any of her mayanos, any of her wellsprings, meaning her spit, her blood, her urine. I'm sorry, not her blood. Right? But her spit and her urine, so they're going to be a navatumma. For this woman who's a tful yom, meaning she's no longer really tame, she's only residual tumma. So for this woman who's a tful yom, all of her mayanot are going to be tahora. Okay, no, I'm sorry, that's already going to be a new point in the Mishnah. Okay? So in other words, point number two in the Mishnah is that when a woman is a tful yom, after having given birth to a baby, so for those either 33 or 66 days of her being a tful yom, so any of her bodily fluids are not going to be a source of tumah. And then the Mishnah continues, and then we finally have a Mishnah. I'm sorry, a machlokas in the Mishnah. We talked about this machlokas earlier on in the Masechta, but here's the actual Mishnah inside. What about now, at the end of everything, meaning for after having given birth to a boy, we're talking now after day 40, the eve of day 41. How about having given birth to a girl, the eve of day 81? So, does she require now a new tefillah? Now, think about this for a moment. Let's go to a regular case of a person being tamei. Okay? Just for a second. A person becoming tamei, meaning they touched a sheretz. A person touching a sheretz, so what's the process of tahara? They'll tovel the mikvah that day, and then, by nightfall, they are tahora. Simple question. Do they have to tovel again at night? The answer is no. In a regular case of a tful yom, they tovel during the day, they wait till nightfall, and once nightfall comes around, they're good. They don't need to tovel at night. So in your classic case of tful yom, you only tovel once. Here in this woman who's given birth, so she's an extended case of tful yom, but let's think this through now. Did she tovel in the mikvah already? Of course she did. Meaning, after having a boy, she toveled already the night after day 7. After having a girl, she toveled the night after day 14. So she already toveled in the mikvah. Now, for her, her status of tful yom is going to extend for either a month or 2 months. But in other words, does she need to tovel at the very end? So Beis Hillel says, no, ain't a tzricha tefillah b'achrona. Now, Beis Hillel basically says, why not? This is the same thing as a regular tful yom. A regular tful yom doesn't need to tovel at night. This woman also doesn't need to tovel at the end of her tful yom. Beis Shammai does require a tefillah. How do you understand the tefillah of Beis Shammai? I don't know. I don't have a good svara. Rashi says, I take it back. Rashi says that according to Beis Shammai, why does she need a tefillah? If you take a look at Rashi, tzricha tefillah lo shimonim l'truma mimnei shetfulos yom aruchu v'hisicha data min atruma. Yeah, because in a regular case, you tovel in the mikvah, that night you're already tahora. There's not much time between you toveling in the mikvah and that night. Granted, it could be 5 hours, it could be 6 hours, but in other words, you basically, after having toveled in the mikvah, you basically have been focused on the fact that you're going to be tahor. This woman who, according to Beis Shammai now, well, according to everybody, sorry, this woman who's going to be now this long tful yom for either a month or 2 months, so there's a good likelihood that at one point she won't have focused on the fact that she's supposed to remain tahora. She'll have what's called hesach hadas, And so Beit Shammai says that at the end of her Tful Yom period, she's going to have to tovel in the mikvah again. And as I pointed out, this is obviously the position we don't take. We take the position of Beis Hillel. Okay, we're going to run through the Gemara quickly. So the Gemara over here is just going to just explain some of the points of the Mishnah, which we've pretty much explained already. So the Gemara starts off, Amar Mar Tava V'Ala Ocha B'Maiser. Okay, so point number one is that a woman who is a who tovels in the mikveh after her 7 days of being tamei for a boy, after 14 days of being tamei for a girl, so she tovels in the mikveh, she eats Maiser Sheni. Good. What does the Gemara do over here? Gemara quotes the Mishnah. Tava V'Ala Ocha B'Maiser. Good. V'Kotza La Chala. Now, in terms of separating challah, so the Mishnah gave an instruction manual in terms of how she should separate challah from her dough. So the Gemara points out over here, chulin atulin l'chal lafke challah damo. Another basic debate that happens again throughout Shas, and that's the following. This dough has latent challah inside of it, right? What's going to happen with this dough is that dough is going to be removed, and eventually that dough which is separated is going to become challah. So there's latent challah in the dough. So this is the discussion, the issue of chulin hatvulin l'challah. If there's latent challah in the dough, does this dough have the status of challah? Being that any part of this dough is eligible to become challah. And the Gemara says, it's obvious from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah takes a very clear stand on this position. The answer is going to be no. Why? Because this woman who's a Tvul Yom is handling the dough. And she's separating the challah. And she's not calling it challah until after she has physically disconnected from it. So in other words, clearly our Mishnah is of the position that chulin, that is not, that dough that has latent challah inside does not have the status of challah. Go to the next part of the Gemara, Makefes, Amamar, Mitzvah, Lechom, and Amukaf. Okay, Lechat Chila. There's a mitzvah that when you take off challah, the challah should be next to the dough that it's been separated from. The Kara L'Hashem Sagadah Chamina Nigzor Damas Lamin Gabba Me'avrai Kamash Malan. Now the Gemara says that, look, you might have had a Havamina, that you might come into contact with it after you separated. The point our Mishnah is making is that we're not worried about such a concern. V'im nafal miroka did not. The Gemara here quotes another Mishnah. Mashka tvul yom ke mashka nanogeben. That the mashka of a tvul yom is like any liquid that's touched by the tvul yom. And it doesn't give off tuma. Meaning, because remember, the tvul yom is only a sheni. And so therefore, anything they touch is not going to become tummy, even if it's a food. So in other words, and the mayanos and the wellsprings of the tvul yom, the spit of the tvul yom, the dam of the tvul yom, also do not give off tuma. Chutz mimashke azav shuava tuma, and then whether this belongs here or not, the goan takes it out. Yeah, the goan takes it out. But in other words, but the mashke azav is an avatuma. In other words, I guess the Gemara here just wants to make a distinction between the mashke of a tvul yom versus the mashke of an actual zav. The Gemara here simply points out the difference between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel in terms of why is there a tefillah required at the very end, meaning day 40 or day 80. Now, I'm sorry, the night after day 40, the night after day 80, is there another tefillah required? So it's a machlokas in our Mishnah. Even though, as I explained back in the Mishnah, by regular tvul yom, there is no tefillah requirement at night. Once you toveled in the day, you started the tahara process. The tahara process finishes at night for a regular tvul yom. But over here, regarding this tvul yom aruch, so that's subject to a debate. Beit Shammai says she's going to require a tefillah at the very end. I cited Rashi. Rashi says because the issue is esach hadas, and Beit Hillel is not concerned about that. Meaning, what's Beit Hillel's position? He's not worried about esach hadas. Esach hadas is not an issue. I'm not 100% sure how to say that. Okay, good. Wonderful. Okay, we start the next Mishnah. Okay, let me introduce this next Mishnah. Okay. This next Mishnah coming up now is going to be talking about the woman during her Yemei Ziva. Okay, the ground rules we know, but we're going to go over it again. The ground rules of a woman during her Yemei Ziva, remember, for the first 7 days of her cycle, she's an Ida. She bleeds on day one, and then for the next 6 days after that, she is a Nida. And as we pointed out time and again, with or without bleeding, she's going to have the status of a Nida. After 7 full days of being a Nida, she'll tov on the mikvah, and she'll go back home to her husband. During her Yemei Nida, it will be absolutely awesome for her husband to have relations with her. It's an Isser Karetz for the husband to do that. Okay, those are the 7 days of the Yemei Nida. Okay. After the Yemei Nida are finished, and after she tovels in the mikvah, she now enters the next 11 days. The next 11 days are Yemei Ziva. Yesod Gadol, the basic fundamental tenet when it comes to her Yemei Ziva, is the following. There is no expectation for her to bleed. None. Not none. That's the wrong way to say it. But there is very little expectation for her to bleed. Meaning in a regular woman's cycle, there are days where she bleeds and where there are days when she does not bleed. So in other words, for the next 11 days of her cycle, there is really very little expectation for her to bleed. Now, what if she does? So if she bleeds one day during these next 11 days, so she's what's called a Zavakatana. If she bleeds on 2 consecutive days, she's still considered to be a Zavakatana. If she bleeds on 3 consecutive days, she's now what's called a Zavagadola. Once she bleeds on 3 consecutive days, and once she's a Zavagadola, so now she's in a totally new world. As a Zavagadola, she has to now, in order for her to become Tahara, she has to count 7 clean days Shiva Nikim. After counting her Shiva Nikim, then she'll tov on the mikvah, and then she'll be Tahara. On the 8th day, she's going to have to bring Karbanos. Okay, good. That is if she's a Zavagadola. Now, what if she only bled for 1 or 2 days? So what becomes of her? What is her status? So, the next day, she's going to be required to do what's called shimur. Shimur just simply means guarding. So that means that let's say she bleeds. I'm now looking at the 11 days of her Yemei Ziva. Let's say she bleeds on day 2. Just on day 2. So now, on day 2, she's now a Zavakatana. Now it's absolutely forbidden for her to have relations with her husband. In addition to that, she's also Tamea. Anything she comes into contact with is going to become Tame. She's an Avatoma. If she has relations with her husband Bishogeg, they have to bring a Karban Chatas. Okay, in other words, on day 2, when she actually bled, she's going to now be a Zavakatana. What's her Tahara process? So the next day, she wakes up in the morning. She'll do a check, she'll do an examination, she'll see she's no longer bleeding, and she'll do what's called shmirah. She'll safeguard that day. Now, on that day, she's already entitled to tovel in the mikvah. She does not need to wait till nightfall. And on that day, after she has tovel in the mikvah, she's already tahora. But here's the catch. And this is really one of the big principles in terms of understanding our entire upcoming discussion. After she tovels in the mikvah, it's true that she is tahora, but if she then subsequently bleeds at any point during the remainder of that day now is added to the day prior, and so now she is a continuous zavakatana from day 2, continuing to day 3. What about the fact that she already tovels in the mikvah on day 3? Don't matter. In other words, that tefillah is totally discounted. And so therefore, on day 3, after having toveled in the mikvah, even though she is tahora, it's pending. Her tahara is pending until she can successfully finish that day without having any bleeding. Okay? Now, let's say she bled on day 2 and day 3. Okay? What then she has to do? On day 4, she requires shimur. Meaning she still only is of a katana, so on day 4 she's going to require shimur, and again, it's the same story. She'll tovel in the mikvah at one point during the day, could be any point during the day, as long as she has safeguarded part of that day, she'll tovel in the mikvah, and after having toveled in the mikvah, she then will be, again, in this pending state of tahara. Okay. I laid out the ground rules so far, so good. Any questions, please don't hesitate to ask. Even though you can't see me, you could still ask. Okay. Now that we set ourselves up, so now we're going to move ahead, and now we're going to talk about her bleeding on day 11. Now you see, day 11 becomes very interesting, because it's the last day of the Yemei Ziva. Now, if she bleeds on day 11, it's very interesting because what if she bled the next day, on day 12? You see, day 12 is not one of her Yemei Ziva. Day 12 already now is potentially the beginning of her next Nida cycle. If she bleeds the next day, we don't combine that with day 11, but that bleeding that occurs the next day is just simply viewed as day 1 of her next Nida cycle. Good. I've told you already a number of times, machlokus between Rambam and all the other Rishonim. According to the Rambam, the next day she defaults into her next Nida cycle. Automatically, on the 12th day, her next Nida cycle begins. That is the position of the Rambam. It's very difficult, especially in the Gemaras that we're about to learn. It's very difficult. Let's not assume that. Let's assume that day 12 is only going to be a Nida day, only if she bleeds. It's not an automatic default. Okay, that's the best way to view it. It makes the most sense in terms of the Gemara, right? There are defenses for the Rambam, but right now let's just leave it nice and simple. Good. So in other words, that next day, so day 12 is not a Yom Shimur, meaning it's not a safeguarded day because there's no chance whatsoever that day 12 can combine with day 11. All right. Now, with all that stated, we can now walk into the Mishnah. The Mishnah starts off, we're on the bottom of Samach Aleph Amud Beis. We're starting now the last Mishnah on the page. Haroa Yom Echad Asar. A woman who sees on the 11th day. So in other words, she's on the 11th day of her Yemei Ziva, and now for the first time she sees. V'tavla la'erev u'mishamsha. And what does she do? She tovlas at night, and she has relations with her husband at night. Okay, so let's start off with the fact that she shouldn't have done that. Meaning, even before reading another word of the Mishnah, that's not appropriate. It's not correct. What the Mishnah here is going to deal with is the consequences of the woman who does this. So Beishamai Omrim Etamim Mishkav Moshe V'chayavim BeKarban. So Beishamai says she is a Zava, meaning for all intents and purposes, she is a Zava. Even that night after the 11th day, even though she toveled in the mikvah, that tefillah in the mikvah was totally meaningless. So basically, she still has the status of a zava. So number one, let's go over this point of Beis Shammai piece by piece. Mitame mishka v'moshav. Take a look at Rashi. Mitame mishka v'moshav. Afilu bala mitame mishka v'moshav. The tame ochlin amashkin. Shu keboel shomeres yom keneged yom. Dikasava yom yiral by shimur. Beis Shammai is of the opinion that the husband who has relations with her that night, remember, we're talking now about the night after the 11th, and even though she told him in the mikvah, Beis Shammai is of the opinion that the man who has relations with her is like a man who is Boel or Shomer Siom, meaning a woman who still requires Shimur. The opinion of Beis Shammai is this woman still requires Shimur. Now, it's a very interesting position because the next day is no longer Yemei Ziva. Okay, that's true, but Beis Shammai says she still requires Shimur. In addition to that, let's go even one step further. The Chayavim B'Karban. Chayavim B'Karban means that the man and the woman, if they have this relations B'Shogeg, meaning they didn't know it was prohibited, and they had relations in the state of Shogeg, they're going to have to bring a Karban Chatas, meaning it is absolutely prohibited for them to have relations to the point where it's such a absolute prohibition that if they do so, b'shogeg, a carbon is going to be required to be brought. Good. Next on, Ayin Beis Amud Aleph. Today's daf, Beis Hillel, Omrim Ptur Min HaKarban. Now, Beis Hillel says that there is no carbon. Now, there is no carbon. If you take a look at the top Rashi in the Amud, the lo b'yei shimur, because there's no shimur requirement. But you'll notice, though, if you've read the Mishnah carefully with me, that even though Beis Hillel says that there's no carbon requirement, what does he feel about Tumah? Sounds like from the Mishnah he feels the same way Beis Shammai does. In fact, if you continue reading in Rashi, Rashi makes exactly that point. So Rashi points out that although there is no carbon requirement, and although there is no shimur requirement, but nevertheless, she's still going to give off tumah. Now, her tumah, as Rashi points out, is going to be gzeirah derabanan, and gzeirah derabanan is very easily understood. Meaning, because how easy is it going to be confusing day 11 versus any other day of the Yom Ziva? any other day that she bleeds during the Yom Ziva, the subsequent day is going to be a day where she's required to do Shimur. So on day 11, so it's very easy to get confused. So Beis Hillel says as a blanket rule, she's going to be metame even if she bleeds on day, even on the night subsequent to day 11. Okay, now, Tavla b'yom shal achara v'shimsha es beisa v'achar kach rasa. Now, let's say she waited until the next day. So now we're into day 12. And let's go even one step further. She toveled in the mikvah on day 12. And then she was mishamish with her husband. And then after having tashmish with her husband, then she saw on day 12, Beishamai omri mitame mishka v'moshav. Now Beishamai says that there's tumas mishka v'moshav, u'ptur min hakarban, and there is no karban. Now, Beis Hillel says this is inappropriate behavior. Now, we talked about this terminology earlier in the Masechta. Remember, we quoted this Mishnah earlier in the Masechta. Gargaron means somebody who is basically, for lack of a better term, basically he's a pig. It's not the best terminology to use, but basically he's... It's like he has a voracious appetite. Now, as far as what he did, was it wrong? What he did, meaning was it halachically wrong? So the answer is no. Meaning we're already on day 12. Day 12 is not a Yom Ziva. And remember, Beis Hillel doesn't even require Shimur because the bleeding only occurred on day 11. But in other words, it's just not appropriate behavior. Rashi writes, if you take a look at Rashi on the side, Rashi says, Gargaron memar lachto, meaning he's just impetuous. Shema yargil bekach toch yadalev. Because if this is how he's going to behave on day 12, well, one could imagine that this behavior would translate if, let's say, she didn't bleed on day 11, but let's say she bled on day 7, or on day 2 during her Yemei Ziva, where the following day the husband may also engage in the same type of behavior, meaning have relations with her during the next day, even after she has toveled in the mikvah, and as we already discussed in the introduction to the Mishnah, that her status during the next day is pending, meaning she's not tohor the next day until she successfully concludes that next day in the state of tahara. So in other words, it's more than inappropriate behavior during the rest of her Yemei Ziva, and Beis Hillel says it's also just inappropriate behavior even on day 12. Finishing up the Mishnah. Now here's where we're all going to agree, meaning both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are going to agree, that if she has bleeding b'soch acharasar yom, any of the days in between, meaning from day 1 to day 10, v'tavla la'er v'shimsha, and that night she tovels in the mikvah, and she has relations with her husband, then absolutely everybody agrees, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, that is halachically incorrect. Meaning, he has just had relations with a Zava. Shemit Tamei Mishka V'Moshe V'Chayav V'Mekarben, the Mishnah says that they're both Tamei Mishka V'Moshe, both the husband and the wife. And they're both Chayav V'Karben, assuming that they did a B'Shogeg. Okay, good. In other words, her toveling in the mikvah of the night does nothing in terms of changing her status. She is still a Zava. Now, the Mishnah then continues, Tavla b'yom sha'achar v'shimsha. Let's say she was bled any time from day 1 to day 10. Now, by the way, I happen to know later on in the Gemara, we're going to discuss day 10. But for now, let's just keep it simple. She has bleeding any time from day 1 through day 10. Just one day of bleeding. And they don't have relations that night, as they're not allowed to have relations that night. And they wait till the next day. And she tovels in the mikvah the next day. Okay. And the husband has relations with her after she tovels in the mikvah during the day. The Mishnah says, Hareze tarbus ra'a. Tarbus ra'a, another way of saying, not appropriate. Now here, not appropriate, what does that mean? It means, like I described this in the past, it's like playing Russian roulette. Because if she bleeds after she tovels in the mikvah that day, I'm talking now about the Yom HaShimur, the day after she has bled. If she bleeds after she has toveled in the mikvah, that retroactively knocks out her tefillah. That means that not only is she a zava today, but it's mitzarif with yesterday, combines with yesterday. So that means that she is a long continuum of being a zava both yesterday and today. Her tefillah is erased, expunged from the record, and her having relations with her husband now has proven retroactively to have been relations with a zava. So for the husband to have relations with his wife, even the next day, even after she tovels in the mikvah, the Mishnah says, tarbas ra'a, loosely translated is, you are playing halachic Russian roulette. Umagan ubiasan teluyin. And anything that she touches, and the relations that they had during the day, are all going to be talui. It's all going to be suspended, and basically wait and see. In other words, because if she doesn't bleed for the remainder of that day, so it turns out that it was fine. If she does bleed any time later that day, it turns out that it was not fine, and that he was bol zava. So obviously, it is not encouraged behavior. In fact, it's very discouraged behavior. Okay. Now, Tana Rabbanan v'Shem v'Tavel Slayla Zavashen Tvila. Now, they both agree. The Gemara here quotes a Braisa. Braisa is going to make the same point that we already made back in the Mishnah, but let's see the Braisa inside. They both agree, both Bisham and Bisol, of that. When a Zavah tovels at night, that's nothing. Tavels Balayla Zavashen Tvila v'Shem v'Roa v'Sol Chacharas Ayom Tavel Er v'Shimsha Shemitam v'Mishka v'Moshe v'Chayav v'Karban. This is pretty much a repeat of what the Braisa just said, and Rashi makes that point. Okay, but in other words, okay. So in other words, toveling at night is totally inconsequential. And so therefore, if at that night, meaning the night after she was a Zava Katana, they have relations, they're going to be Chayva Karban, assuming they did a Bishogeg. And the Mitami Mishka Vamoshev, both the woman and the man who had relations with her is Mitami Mishka Vamoshev. If I wasn't clear about it earlier back in the Mishnah, let me be clear about that now. Mitami Mishka Vamoshev means that anything they sit on is going to become Tamei to the same degree that they are Tamei. So in other words, she's going to be an Avatoma. Anything she sits on is going to be an Avatoma as well, because she's a Zava. And in the world of Tama, Zava is equivalent to Nida. Okay. Lo nechluk lela b'yom acharas hayom. The only debate between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is going to be where she bled for the first time on the 11th day of the Yom Zimvah. Beis Shammai omer mitamei mishka v'moshe v'chayav mikarban, u'Beis Hillel p'turim mikarban. So, this is a machlokus that we already saw in our Mishnah, where Beis Shammai says that it's mitamei mishka v'moshe, if she bled on the 11th day and they have relations at the night after the 11th day, and Beis Hillel says, no carbon is going to be offered, but he agrees with the Tumah. Now, Amr lahem Beis Shammai le Beis Hillel. Now, here we go. We didn't get this in the Mishnah. We do get this in the Braisa. A nice little dialogue between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So, Amr lahem Beis Shammai le Beis Hillel. Maishna yom echad asar mi yom toch achad asar. Im shiva lo letuma lo yishra lo lekarban. So, Beis Shammai starts off with seems to be an excellent point. Meaning, you, Beis Hillel, are in agreement with me that after day 11, meaning the night following day 11, she is going to be Tamei Mishka V'Moshav. So if you're agreeing with me over the issue of Tuma, so can you not be consistent and agree with me over the issue of carbon as well? Amar lahem Beis Shammai Beis Hillel Beis Shammai lo. Im amar b'soch yom acharasa yom, shekein yom shalachar v'mitzarfim olaziva. Tomer b'yom acharasa she'ein yom shalachar v'mitzarfim olaziva. And Beis Hillel's response to Beis Shammai is, there is a fundamental difference between day 11 and any day prior. Because when you get to day 11 has no add-on day. The subsequent day cannot be added to the previous day. The next day is day 12. There is no such thing as day 12 in the world of Yemei Ziva. It stops at day 11. So the next day cannot be added to the previous day. So therefore, since the next day can't be added to a previous day, therefore there's no Shema requirement. So therefore, after day 11, she tovels in the mikvah, there is no carbon requirement. That's Beis Hillel's point back to Beis Shammai. Amar lahem Beis Shammai hishvu midoseichem. So Beis Shammai now says to Beis Hillel, okay, sounds like Beis Shammai accepted that point, but Beis Shammai says back to Beis Hillel, but then, let me ask you a simple question. You are inconsistent. Because im shiva lo latuma, yishva lo lakarban. V'im lo shiva lo lakarban, lo yishva lo latuma. So fine. So you want to tell me that day 11 is fundamentally different because there is no day 12. Day 12 doesn't combine with day 11. So if you're arguing that point, I accept that, but here's the part I don't understand. So then why is there Tumah after day 11? Meaning the night subsequent to day 11, you admit that she still is going to be Metame Mishka V'Moshav. Why should she be Metame Mishka V'Moshav? If you're telling me that there's no Karban, there also should be no Tumah. So Beisol says to Beit Shammai, look, I'm going to be machmir, but I'm not necessarily going to be mekel. And you even agree with me on this point. Now, in the world of tumah, you want to be machmir, that's fine. But in the world of karban, that's you're allowing a tremendous kula. Now, what's the kula by karban? Because think about it, and Rashi makes this point very clear. If the carbon is not required, and you're bringing the carbon to the Beis HaMikdash, what have you just violated? Chulin be'azara. Chulin in the temple, which is an Isser. It's an Isser Lav, it may be just an Isser Asay. But whatever the case is, in other words, it's an Isser. So I'm ready to be machmir about Tumah because that's a Chumrah that has no... That has no downside, but to allow a carbon when a carbon may not be required, now you're running the risk of bringing chulin into the temple. So im shev lo latoma yishol lo carbon ve im lo shev lo carbon lo yishol lo latoma al lahak me lo lahak el hachanam lahak. Sorry, did I skip a little bit? Yes, I did. Sorry, let me go back. Because look, you basically agree with this very same point. Meaning, let's go to you, Beit Shammai. You say that she waits till day 12. She toveled on day 12. Now, after having toveled on day 12, now what? After having toveled on day 12, she has relations with her husband. What is Beit Shammai's position? Well, there's still going to be tumah, but there's not going to be a karban. So, Avatem Hishvu Midoseichem. So, Beit Shammai, the point that you just made to me, why don't you turn around and make the same point to yourself? Im Shiva Lo Tumah, Yishvu Lo Karban. Meaning, if you think there's Tumah after having Tovel the Mikvah on day 12, so wouldn't you therefore say that there should be a Karban as well? So, Vim Lo Shiva Lo Karban, Lo Yishvu Lo Tumah, Elo Hachmir Lo Hakel, Hachanam, Elo Hachmir Lo Hakel. Wonderful. So this is exactly Beit Shammai's point to Beis Hillel. I'm sorry, Beis Hillel's point to Beit Shammai. You also have no problem striking a distinction between Tumah and a Karban. I'm doing the same thing you are. I'm not waiting till the next day. I'm saying that's true at night as well. Meaning the night after the 11th, I'm saying there continues to be Tumah, but at that point in time, there is simply no Karban, because Beis Hillel is of the opinion that since there's day 12 is nothing, it can't combine to day 11, therefore there's no Shema requirement for day 12, not even the night prior. Okay. All right, very good. All right. It's already 5 minutes to eight. We're going to stop over here. At this point, we are about to have a Rav Huna discussion. Rav Huna is going to comment on the position of Beit Shammai. Okay, so we'll do this one more day, meaning tomorrow we have one more day of Masechta Nida. We'll do this again. I'm going to ask Shemi a little more in advance that we'll prepare this room for tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll meet back here in this room, and one more time I'll do this over the phone. And also, all this was recorded for posterity. I'll put it up on YU Torah. Anyway, so we'll stop over here, and tomorrow we'll pick it up. And everyone have a wonderful day. And I encourage everybody, if you have a chance tonight, to go to the Boca Raton Synagogue. They're showing the CM tonight at the synagogue. Also, everyone's invited. Bring wives, bring children. Everyone's invited. It should be. It makes out to be a very, very inspirational program. Everyone have a great day.